Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for a new day, and we thank you for the service. We thank you for what you have done for us so far, and we thank you, Lord, as we enter into the Word of God now. The Bible says the entrance of your Word gives and brings light. And we pray, Lord, that you bring that light into our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. And let your name be glorified. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Now, a couple of weeks ago, or several weeks back, we started the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to continue that today. And last time we were in chapter 3 of Hebrews. And I am going to do chapter 3 quickly today. I may get started on chapter 4 a little bit, but you know, we won't go too long. So we'll see how much we can get into it. Now, I'm not going to do a review today of the chapters that we already covered. If you want a review of any of the subjects that we have taught or preached here in the church, you can go to the website, gmichurch.org. On the sermons page, you can find all the sermons there. And also, gospeldistribution.org, some of the sermons that Pastor Julius preaches, we put them on his website instead of duplicating them, and so on. So, you know, you can go to these places, you find any of these sermons there to refresh your mind. Now, Hebrews chapter 3. And I'm going to read through this first. Before we bring out the viewpoints that the Lord wants us to bring. Now, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, which is Christ Jesus. Now, we talked about that last time. Now, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Now, for this man was counted worthy of more honor and glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had builded the house had more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will, hear his voice. Harden not your hearts. Now, the title of our exhortation from Hebrews chapter 3 today is Exhortation to Steadfastness. Harden not your hearts. So the Holy Ghost says, if you hear his voice today, harden not your hearts as they did in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, that's the Holy Ghost speaking, they proved me and they saw my works 40 years. And then the Lord said, well, wherefore was I grieved with that generation? And said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Now, verse 11, and I'm going to come back to some of these verses in a minute. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Now, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily. As long as it is called today, lest there be in any of you your heart be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. Wherefore, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was he not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And he said, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now that's the text. Now let's go back and take it from the top. We've already covered Christ Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our profession. We covered that last time. So I'm going to start this section here from chapter 3 of Hebrews and verse 7. Wherefore, the Holy Ghost says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So we're going to be talking about the hardening of the heart. We're going to be talking about an evil heart of unbelief. And we're going to be talking about some remedies for these things. Now, let's read further. He said, in the wilderness, the story when God brought them out of Egypt and so forth, and it was leading them into the promised land, they hardened their hearts. They didn't listen to the Lord. They provoked him many times. They wouldn't do the right thing and so forth. They went a-whoring after other gods, and they did all kinds of things. And they spent 40 years just running around in circles there, you know, until God wiped out all the unbelief and so on. Now, God said, why was I grieved with that generation? Of course, because, you know, they did not sanctify the Lord in their hearts. They did not believe the Lord. And they would not obey his voice. The Lord told them constantly, obey my voice, hearken to my commandments, do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord, and do obey all of his statutes. But they wouldn't do it. You know, sometimes, you know, they just went straight away from the Lord and so forth. So, now, consequences? The consequences of not obeying the Lord, or the consequences of hardening the heart. And we're going to come back and see what all the hardening of the heart means. But let me lay out the consequences here, first of all, right off the bat. Here's what the Lord said to them. You know, look at verses 10 and 11. The Lord said, well, these people always err. They don't know my ways. Therefore, I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Now, that's a very terrible and serious situation for the Lord to swear that people will not enter into the very promise that he gave them in the first place. Are you still with me, folks? So we're going to read other scriptures that show what these people did to make the Lord to get to this point, and how the Lord dealt with them, even though the Lord gave them the promise and started the work of deliverance in them, but how he later destroyed many of them. So we're going to see that. So this is a serious warning. You know, that the Lord said, look, you're not going to enter my rest. Now, God had promised them a rest. And God had promised them a land of peace, a land of milk and honey and all of these things, a wonderful place and so forth. But most of them, most of the older generation that came out of that place, they were all wiped out in the wilderness and they didn't enter in at all because of their unbelief and the hardness of their hearts. Now, here is a remedy. The Lord said in verse 12, he said, he gave a warning, you know, and then he gave a remedy in verse 13. The warning is this. Take heed so that you won't be like those people. That's the warning. Take heed lest there be in any of you also, that's my word that I put there, an evil heart of unbelief like those people in departing from the living God. And the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2 and verse 13. I preached on this topic before. The Lord said, my people, can you put up that scripture, please? Jeremiah chapter 2, 13. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And they have hewed to themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So this is the thing that the Lord was aggrieved about with the people of Israel. He chose them for his own name. But they forsook him and turned their back on him. All the time. And one time he even called them a stiff-necked people and so forth like that. You know, so, you know, why would anybody forsake the fountain of living waters and go be looking for a substitute when you can have the real thing? Hallelujah. Amen. These people were looking, they were always looking everywhere else but unto the Lord. Yeah. But there were a few of them, there were a few of those people that looked unto the Lord. You know, David, they looked unto the Lord. Some of his sons and his grandsons, they looked unto the Lord. They would say, our eyes are upon you. Hezekiah said that. Asa said that. And so for all of these people, some of them knew that. But most of them, they just departed from the Lord. And the Lord was grieved with that generation. You know. So, now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's read the things that these people did that are characterized here as a hardening of the heart. And how that the Lord you know, dealt with them. So I'm going to start 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's read. I'm going to read quickly through verses 1 to 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I mean 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed, all of them passed through the Red Sea. Verse 2. And they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Next verse, please. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. Amen. And they did all drink the same spiritual drink. Yeah. For they all drank of that spiritual rock. Now notice that's a capital R. Yeah. They drank of that rock. And that rock that followed them was Christ. So you can see Christ was even way back there in the Old Testament. Amen. And if you want to know more about Christ, all you have to do is read Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Whose goings forth have been from of old. Hallelujah. He didn't just set up shop in one day. His goings forth have been from of old. Hallelujah. Now, so he was there with them, but that's not our topic today. But in verse 5, but with many of them, 1 Corinthians 10 and 5, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, please. Thank you. And they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were written for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things like they also lusted. So we begin to see some of the things that made God to be grieved with our generation. They lusted after evil things. Instead of sanctifying the Lord and choosing the Lord as their chief joy, they went after the ways of the world. They wanted to be like the nations of the world. They wanted to be like the rest of the people. But God said, I have separated you unto myself. But they wouldn't listen. You know, so we see what the Lord did. Now, he said, neither be ye idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play and so forth. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them also committed, and they fell in one day 23,000. God slew. I don't have time to go into all those stories, but we're trying to move on with the service. 23,000 in one day because of all their fornication and so forth, and the things they were doing. And they also tempted Christ, you know, and many of them were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye. Some of them murmured against the servant of the Lord. They murmured against the Lord. They did all kinds of things. And the Bible says, when they murmured, they were destroyed of the destroyer. In verse 10. Now, all these things happened unto them for our examples. That's the second time he's saying that. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, this is the admonition to steadfastness. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. That's the admonition today. If you think you stand, remember, God pulled them out by a mighty hand from Egypt. God did signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, and he made himself a name till this day. And even the nations around, they heard about it and said, we have heard what the God did for all these people and so forth. Better let's not mess with them and so on. But after all of that, when any other situation arose, they still would not sanctify the Lord in their hearts. When they didn't have water, they wouldn't believe God, the same God that parted the Red Sea. You know, when they, whatever thing they face, they turn their back quickly. We don't have food. We should have been back in Egypt. We want to go back in Egypt and so forth. And all they forgot all of his miracles. And God had to constantly be reminding them and so forth. And they would none of God. In fact, one time they said, we don't want to hear his voice. You go hear his voice and come tell us. They told Moses. So they didn't really want any part of God. They wanted to be so far away from God. And God wanted them to come near to him. They said, no, we don't want any part of God and so on. So God was grieved with those people. Now, let me read something else to you here in the book of Jude. Chapter 1. There's only one chapter in Jude. Verses 5 and 6. Again, still showing us what these people did and how the Lord dealt with them. Jude, verse 5, only one chapter. I will therefore put you in remembrance. This is almost the same thing like we read in 1 Corinthians.
you know, chapter 10.
Though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now, I want you to know, God saved these people from Egypt. And later on, he wiped them out because they didn't believe. Now, if God did those things, and even the angels, read the next verse, even the angels, which in the beginning kept not their first estate, now the angels were the closest to God. You know, even Lucifer, he was the cherub that covered the throne. And he was covered with light and so forth. But one day, pride entered into his heart. You know, actually, he began to say, well, you know, why should it be only the Lord? Why can't it be us as well? He talked to some of the angels. He did this and he did that and so forth. I'll set up shop here. I'll be like the Most High. You will never be like the Most High. Hallelujah! He is alone and there is none like him. Praise ye the Lord. God, he said, I am God alone. And who will you liken unto me? Certainly not Lucifer. He said, I will ascend. God said, I will send you down to hell. Praise the Lord. And that's where the devil is going. He's going to hell. And Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning from heaven. Oh yeah, he moves, he gets away. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Satan doesn't like every time I say it, and that's why I like to say it. He gets away from the power of God at the speed of light. That's how fast he moves from the real anointing and the real power of God. He moves at 186,000 miles per second. Like lightning, he gets out of there. Praise the Lord. So if you have some real power, you cast him out. Don't mess with the devil. Don't have a chat. Don't have discussion. Come out of him in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. And get him out of there. That's how you do it. Now, so these people, after God had delivered them, the same God that delivered them, afterward destroyed them because they didn't believe. Now that's a stern warning for everybody here this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't have time to read all the chapters in Ezekiel and Jeremiah that tell us about how if a righteous man forsake his righteousness and go back to his sin, and if he die in his sin, he, all his righteousness will be forgotten. You know, so don't be saying, well, you know, I'm this, I'm that. No, you are only as good as your obedience today. Amen, folks. Let me say it again. You are only as good with the Lord as your obedience today. You obeyed the Lord last year. You obeyed the Lord last week. You did all these wonderful things. And even God did all these wonderful miracles for you. Some people think that actually the measure of their spirituality is, you know, how God is doing things for them. God is a merciful God. He makes his sun to shine upon even wicked people. So just because God is doing things for you doesn't mean that you are right with God. Hallelujah. But you must be right with God. Otherwise, the same God that did all those things with you might at the end say, I know you not. Amen. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. It's right there in the Bible, Matthew 7, verses 21 and 22. You can read it. It's right there. On that day, many will come to me and say, Lord, didn't we do wonderful things in your name? Some of them might even say, it's not there, but let me put it in there. Some of them might even say, but Lord, you did all those miracles for me. I mean, every time you answered my prayer, you know, I mean, that means I was, you know, I was with you. And Lord said, get away from me. I don't know you because you are workers of iniquity. Why? Because of disobedience. Yeah. Yeah. Because they wouldn't hearken to the voice of the Lord. And disobedience comes in many shades. There are even some shades of gray. You know, it's like a man, you know, can disobey the word of God by being bitter against his wife. You are bitter against your wife, you are disobeying the word of God. You know, you may have great miracles, you may have all these things, but Jesus said, you know, when he was writing the letters to the churches of Revelation, he would say many things in their commendation, but occasionally he would say, and these things I have against you. Folks, one man, one time he came to the Lord, he said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, well, you know the law. You know, thou shalt do this and thou shalt not do that and so forth like that. And the man said, well, I've done all these things from my youth and all. And the Lord looked at him, and the Bible said the Lord loved him. And the Lord said, yet one more thing thou lackest. There is yet something that is lacking in your life. For him in particular, it was his dependence upon his affluence. He trusted in his riches. And so the Lord told him, go get rid of all those riches, sell them, give them to the poor, and come and follow me. And you will have great riches in heaven. And he went away sorrowful. Amen. Now, there is one thing that you may lack here this morning, and it may be your disobedience. You may be a woman that dishonors your husband. You do not respect your husband. The Bible says a woman must respect and honor their husband, submit unto their husband as unto the Lord. You don't do it, it's against you. You may be a child that will not respect and honor your parents. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with you. If you don't do it, it may be against you. So, I mean, there's always these things. You say, well, who then can be saved? Well, nobody can do it by your power, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. And God wants us to be perfect. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38. Verse 48. Be ye also therefore perfect as your what? Heavenly Father is perfect. Praise the Lord. So we see that after God had, you know, brought them out, he later on destroyed them that did not believe. So here is the lesson. You may actually miss out on the promises of God due to unbelief or due to disobedience to the word of God. If you read the stories in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, which I preached on many times, you will see how the children of Israel did not sanctify the Lord in their hearts, and they said, we can't go up and take the place. And only Joshua and Caleb believed the Lord. And the Lord told the rest that did not believe, because you did not believe, you will know my breach of promise. I preached on that before, so it's not my subject today. So the thing that God actually promised, he breached it because of their disobedience and because they did not believe. Now that's a stern warning to us today. Now, if you think that just because God promised something is just for you to take, just like that. No, you have to earn the right to the promises of God through obedience, yeah, of the faith, and through walking and doing the right thing before the Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen, folks. Yeah. After they have patiently endured the heroes of faith, they inherited the promise. They have to patiently. The Bible says, grind in there. Don't run off from the Lord. You know, don't, you know, one day and then next day you run off. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Praise the Lord. It's not, I was saved yesterday, therefore I'm saved forever. No, you are only as good as your obedience today. If you are not obeying the Lord right now, all those other things and so forth, you know, won't mean anything if you die in your disobedience. You know, just imagine if you had, you know, anger and bitterness and so forth against your wife, and you left the house and you got involved in an accident and you died, and you didn't forgive her before that accident, where do you think you will end up? You know, so be careful now. Amen, folks? Be careful now. Or if you have disobedience and anger and bitterness and all clamor and all these evil works in your life, and then the Lord should suddenly come, you know, and all of a sudden there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth for many. But we are praying for everyone that hears the voice and our voice here, that our portion will be to cleave unto the Lord with all of our heart. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Now listen to this. Back to Hebrews chapter 3. We see that the warnings are great. But let's see some of the remedy that the Lord gives for these things. How can we remedy this situation? Well, here is one remedy. But exhort one another daily. That's Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So we see that there is an exhortation to steadfastness. Every day we must exhort one another. That's why we come out here in the services and exhort people to believe God, to do this, to do that, and so forth, and to live a righteous life and walk before the Lord. Amen. Amen, folks. Enoch walked with God, and the Lord took him. Praise the Lord. And I maintain by the grace of God that death is not the only way to leave this earth, because Enoch did not die. In fact, the Bible says that he was taken that he should not see death. And I believe that if you can walk with God and you be transformed daily into that light, and if you keep changing into that light, even as it says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So if you're going to be a part of God, that light must be, the darkness must be expunged from our lives. And as we continue to be transformed into light, he that walketh after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall do what? Shall have the light of life. And as you begin to have that light of life, remember, If you say you are in the light and you hate your brother, you are in darkness until now. You know, so to walk in darkness is death, but to walk in light is life and glory. Amen. So when we walk in obedience, when you walk in the light of God, you draw closer to God, and God begins to change you and change you. And one day, I believe with all of my heart, one day anybody that can be completely transformed into that light, they'll be gone. Praise the Lord. They'll be gone just like Enoch. Be gone just like that, magnetized, because the Lord is the source of all light, and he's so eternal. It's like a magnetic volcano and things like that, just erupting light and glory from him. And if you get close enough, my goodness, well, the children of Israel, they don't want any part of it. They saw some of his glory and said, no, we don't want that. My goodness. You know, I wish that people would say, if he kills me, I want the glory of God. Amen. Amen, folks. I'm praying for the glory of God. If I see that chariot of fire, I'm going inside it. Amen.
Yes, amen.
If he wants to slay me, that's his business. But I'm heading for that fire. I'm heading for that glory, folks. I am heading for that glory. I'm never going to say, oh, I don't want to hear none of God. You go ahead and come tell me. Why would you take something that's, regurgitated by somebody else? You know, get it first hand from the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, so that is the remedy, is exhortation. The other remedy is our obedience. Obedience to the faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we read all the time, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. But all of these things will be achieved only when your own obedience is fulfilled. Hallelujah. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of our God, and bringing into obedience all things, all thoughts to the obedience of Christ and so forth. So that is what the Lord said, that the kind of power that we have. And I'm going to give you the reference for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You can read it from verses 3 to about 6. Though we walk in the flesh and so forth, we walk not after the flesh. And all the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to pulling down strongholds and all these great things that we can do, casting down imaginations and doing all these things. But you look at verse 6. You see, having in a readiness to avenge all disobedience when your own obedience is fulfilled. Praise the Lord. Now I'll go to Hebrews chapter 4, and I will close in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll pick it up from here next time. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it because of unbelief and disobedience. So let us be careful. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
I'm going to invite you to read the rest of chapter 4 of Hebrews, and we're going to be going into that rest that he promised. We're going to be talking about it next time. What is the rest that he promised? Why is it that they couldn't enter? We've already talked about some of that. But, seeing then that it says here, just a quick introduction to that, we see that there is a rest that is promised for the people of God. And for those to whom it was first promised, they couldn't enter in because of unbelief, then it means that some people must enter in. Praise the Lord. So we're going to find our qualifications more deeply on how to enter into that rest. And we're going to find out what truly that rest is. And how do we not only go, not only should we enter in, we don't want to go in and out. Most people are going in and out. Sometimes, you're doing real good and the grace of God and so forth. And then the next thing, the devil aggravates you and so forth. And people lose their minds. People who have seen tremendous miracles. One day they saw tremendous miracles. Some of you here have tremendous testimonies of great things that the Lord has done for you. But the next thing, you have one little old problem. Then you totally forget about the Lord. And then instead of running to the Lord, you are running to somebody else. You are picking up a phone, calling somebody, and your head is just running all over the place. Why not come to me, saith the Lord? Amen. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. If you are laboring and you are heavy laden, come unto the Lord, and I will give you rest. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I have a few minutes left, and I want to pray. I want to pray for some here this morning. I'm just going to touch you real quick. and ask the Lord to help you. Amen. Amen, folks.
Amen.
First, you must be ready to obey the word of God. Having a readiness in your own heart to obey the word of God. And if there is a willingness in your heart, God will give you the grace. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, so, you know, for anybody that is here, this prayer, I'm going to make two prayers this morning. You stay in your seat for this one. You say in your heart, I want the Lord to help me. I don't want to be like these people that missed it because of unbelief or disobedience. If that's you here this morning, hallelujah. All heads bowed in this place. I don't want anybody to come out for this prayer. If that's you here this morning, I want you to raise your hand and say, Lord, and it's kind of like, Lord, I can't do it. Help me. Throw up your hands and say, the Lord should help you. If you're here this morning and you say, whatever it takes, Lord, I want to be in on this promise. I don't want to be like those that missed it because of unbelief. I don't want to be like those that missed it because of disobedience. If that's you here this morning with your hands raised, and I'm going to pray for you. Lord Jesus, give grace to everyone that has their hands raised here this morning. Yes. Hallelujah. Strengthen them, Lord, in the word of God. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Amen. Lord, we pray that the word of God will dwell richly in all our people, the young ones, the old ones, and everybody together, so that we may become more and more like Christ. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Now, real quick, I'm going to just touch you real quick. If you need healing or whatever this morning, you have pain, you have this, you have whatever, and so forth like that. Remember, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick. We don't need to make long prayer. All I need to do is lay hands on the sick, and you will recover. So that's what the Bible says. And I believe it with all my heart. And we've seen it all the time. So if that's you this morning, you have pain in your leg, pain in your back, pain somewhere and so forth, don't go with the pain. Praise the Lord. The house of God is kind of like a clinic. You know, you come to the clinic, you get healed. Praise God. So don't go with whatever you have. And I'm going to touch you real quick here this morning. Praise the Lord. Now, I want the pastors that are in the house to come help me. And let's make it quick. Pastor Julius, Pastor Emmanuel, come and help me real quick. Let's just touch these people real quick. Praise team, come on back up, please, if you would. Now, if you are in the praise team and you need prayer, you stay down here because we don't want you to miss out. You stay down here first, and then, you know, when you get your prayer, then you can go up. Now, where are the pastors? All right, let's pray for these people and so forth. I want you to spread out, if you will, please spread out so the pastors can get quickly to you and spread out. Spread out here, and some of you move over here, please. Can you move over here, some of you, so we can get to you quickly? Thank you. And I'm going to ask the pastors to just go around and lay hands, touch them real quickly, and believe God. You know, God is quick. We don't need long prayers. God will do it just as quickly. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.